woke up this morning, what was it that weighed heavy on your heart? What weight are you carrying? What is that thing that's burdening you? We all live with burdens. And God's promise to us today speaks to each of us as we carry those life's burdens. It's found in Psalm 68, verse 19. Now, the key truth that we will be seeing today is this. Because God promises to daily carry our burdens, we can be certain that no burden will be too heavy for us because God will sustain us. No burden that you have will be too heavy because God promises to bear that burden for you and to sustain you in that process. Psalm 68, verse 19. In respect for God's word, let me ask you to stand. Now, this is a psalm of triumph. David is remembering the history of Israel from the time of their wanderings through their conquest of Canaan. And he is talking about God selecting Zion as his home and about giving Israelites victory over the Canaanites, and they have enjoyed the spoils of war. And so this is a song of praise and triumph. And in this psalm, we have this beautiful promise in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. You may be seated. As we begin this morning, let's just think for a moment about the burdens that we bear in life. First, there are spiritual burdens that we bear. These are burdens that God places on our hearts about spiritual matters. The Old Testament prophets were burdened with a message to proclaim to the people of God. As we see in Malachi chapter 1, and it's just an example of many of the other prophets, if you will look at their books, where we read the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Now, you see that word oracle, translated oracle? The Hebrew word means burden. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Malachi lived in a time of Israel's great spiritual decline. They had come back from exile and they had become corrupt in their religious practices. They were just going through the motions of the sacrifices. Their hearts were not in it. The priests had become corrupt. They were allowing the people to offer lame and sick sacrifices to the Lord. God said, you wouldn't even give your leftovers to your governor, and yet you're giving them to me? The people were not giving God his tithe, and instead they were keeping it and spending it on themselves. And in such spiritual decline, God places a burden, a spiritual burden on the heart of Malachi and gives him a message to proclaim. Paul experienced this same type of spiritual burden over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Paul had just finished talking about some of the physical burdens that he had experienced when he said he was shipwrecked, that he was beaten with a whip 39 lashes five times. He was beaten with rods three times. He was hungry. He was cold. He was exposed. And he goes through all of those external sufferings and he says, but apart from such external sufferings, He says there is the daily pressure, the daily burden on me of concern for all the churches. Paul carried a spiritual burden for the churches that they would grow into Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity. And so some of the burdens we experience are spiritual burdens. They're burdens that God places on us. I know many times God will burden my heart, and as a result of that burden, a sermon will come forward. I will see things in the church, I will see things in our society, I'll see things in our country, and they will burden me. They will be heavy on my heart. And from that, God will give me a message that He would want me to share with you. God burdens us to pray for certain individuals and certain things. Now, how do you choose what to pray for? I mean, there are millions and millions of things you could pray for. Well, how do you decide what to pray for? I mean, you can spend 24 hours a day praying and still not pray for everything. Well, the Bible tells us to pray for some things. It says pray for those in leadership, right? Pray for them. It talks about praying for the lost. Well, how do you know what else to pray for? God burdens your heart. God burdens you. He places a concern, a heaviness in your heart for either someone or for some situation. That's His Spirit saying to you, I want you to make this a matter of prayer. Now, another thing comes up. How often do you pray for something? I mean, do you pray 5 times a day for this thing? Do you pray once every day for this thing? Do you pray once a week for this thing? You ever ask yourself that question? I ask myself that question. I know God doesn't have a short memory. And so if I just prayed for this yesterday, why do I need to pray for it again today? It's not like He has forgotten. But yet the Bible says we are to be persistent in praying, doesn't it? So how do I determine how often, how much I pray for something? I think you determine by the burden that God places on your heart. Some things you're burdened, so burdened for, you need to pray for them, not only once a day, but throughout the day. Other things, the burden is maybe once a day burden. Other things may be a once a week burden. So you've got to be sensitive to the burden the Lord places on you and pray for those things according to how He has burdened you. God also burdens us sometimes for people that are not Christians, that we might pray for them, that we might seek to build a relationship, friendship with them, that we might share Christ with them. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody in your family. But God's putting them on your heart, we say that. Man, God's really placed them on my heart. And what we mean, we've kind of got a burden for them, right? So some of the burdens God places on us. But then there are burdens that other people place on us. Paul experienced this over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what he says. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Now there are certain people that just put burdens on us. They lie about us. They gossip about us. They criticize us, everything we do. They're critical. They are jealous of us. They try to destroy everything we do. Maybe it's a boss that's just unreasonable. I mean, people put burdens on us. Also, there are burdens that just come with life. Burdens that are on us because we live in a Genesis 3 world. We live in a world that is corrupted by the effects of sin. And because of that, there are burdens that just come with life. That's why I know every one of us here has burdens. Because every one of us here is alive. The only time you're going to cease to have a burden is when you're not living any longer. I mean, there are health burdens that we bear, don't we? How many of us are dealing with high blood pressure? How many of us are having to deal with high cholesterol? How many of us are overweight? Watch out, quit preaching, preacher. How many of us are burdened with eye problems? I mean, for 55 years, I had poor eyesight. I mean, I had glasses that were as thick as Coca-Cola bottles. I mean, my children used to laugh at me when I'd wear my glasses. I usually wore contacts. They would not want me to take them to school with my glasses on because then they want their friends to see me. And when I finally got LASIK surgery and I didn't need to have glasses, we had a big ceremony at my house and we retired my glasses. But to wake up and not be able to see what the time it is on the clock, I mean, I couldn't even see that big E on the eye chart. That's how bad eyesight I had. I'd lose my glasses and I couldn't see to find them. You've been there, I know now, yourself. But just the burden of bad eyesight, the burden of not being able to hear like you used to. Then there are work burdens that come upon us. In this Genesis 3 world, we know the burden that comes from trying to work the land and with the weeds and the thorns and the droughts and all those things. And then other burdens, working in corporate America and the pressures of demands at workplaces on you and the people you have to deal with, and those are burdens. And then we have emotional burdens we bear. The emotion of grief. There's no burden, I think, so heavy emotionally as that of grief. But we have to bear that. And then we have the burden of estrangement from family members. Family members that won't talk to us. Family members that we don't get along with. And then there are the disappointments and frustrations that we go through in life when things don't turn out like we hoped they would turn out. And then there are the financial burdens that we have to bear. Those unexpected medical bills that you didn't plan for and they put you under the hole. That unexpected roof repair that you need on your house. Or that unexpected car repair that catches you financially in straits. And so you feel the financial pressure and burden. You see, we all have burdens that we bear just because we are living in this Genesis 3 fallen world. But the good news is God promises that He will daily bear our burden so that no matter what our burden is, it will never be too heavy for us because God will sustain us. And that brings us to our promise as we look at it in more detail. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. Now, the first thing this promise does, it tells me about God's great love for His people. That our God, from the throne of heaven, will stoop down and bear our burden for us. That shows me the heart of my God, that He is willing to stoop down from the heights of heaven and He is willing to bear my burden for me. Now, the word bear is an interesting Hebrew word because it means literally to get under the weight of the burden. It was used in other places in Scripture of putting grain on a donkey, and the donkey carried the weight of that grain. And so it means to actually get under the weight of. David is saying that God gets under the weight of our burden. You see, to bear another person's burden causes you to empathize with that person in a way you wouldn't do otherwise. For example, I'm carrying a 70-pound bag of sand on my shoulder, and you come up to me and say, "Hey, I want to help you with that. Let me carry that burden for you." Now, you've seen me walking with it, and you've thought, well, that's probably pretty heavy on him, and he looks like he's having a pretty difficult time. So you understand it to a level. But when you reach over and take that 70-pound bag of sand, and you put it on your shoulder, and you begin to walk, you go to a deeper level of understanding what I'm going through, right? As they say, until you walk a mile in my shoes, you don't understand what I'm really going through. Well, what David says is that our God comes and gets under our burden. He experiences the weight of our burden. This means that God so knits himself to us that what touches us touches him. Now listen to that. Our God so knits himself to his people that whatever touches us touches him. He experiences the pains and pressures of our burden. Now we talk about God's transcendence, and that means God's greatness, that God is a whole different category of being. He is the creator. We are the creature. He is immutable. He is perfect. He is unchangeable. And we talk about that of God, and it is all true. But when we talk about that, we tend to think of God as being way out there, unconcerned with what goes on in your life. But there's another truth called God's immanence. At the same time that he is transcendent, he is also very, very close to his people. Now, I don't claim to understand how God can be an unchangeable God and how God can be an independent being totally, and yet at the same time, he hurts when I hurt. But that's what his word teaches. He's at pain when I'm in pain. He carries and experiences the weight of my burden. Now notice also, the promise is that God daily bears our burdens. It's not like God is in heaven looking down at you and you're struggling with that burden and he waits until you just can't take another step and then he says, okay, let me come in there and pick it up. No, no. That's not the picture at all. The picture is that God, every day, every part of every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, 366 on leap year, will carry your burden. Always. Continually. That's the kind of God that we have. Now, again, brings us to the key truth. Because God promises to daily bear our burden, you can be certain no burden will be too heavy for you because God will sustain you. Now you may be thinking, well, preacher, if God's carrying my burden, why is it so heavy on me? Why do I still feel so much weight if God's carrying my burden? This next verse gives us the answer to that, and that's over in Psalm 55, verse 22. You see, this promise is a conditional promise. And if you're still experiencing the weight of your burdens, then it's because you've not met the condition, as we find it. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, the setting of this psalm is important for us to understand. David has been betrayed by a very close friend, Ahithophel, and his son Absalom is seeking to overthrow him and to take over his kingdom. His son is leading a rebellion against him. One of his most trusted friends has betrayed him, and he is having to flee Jerusalem. And it is in that context that he writes this psalm. And you see his terrifying oppression in verses 4 through 6. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. You ever felt that way? God, just get me out of here. Man, if I could just fly away, I would do it. He is experiencing terrifying oppression. He says a horror has overwhelmed him. Fear and trembling has come upon him. The terrors of death have fallen on him. And then in the midst of this, he experiences that painful betrayal. Verses 12 and 14. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together and walked in the house of God in the throng. You are the one who has betrayed me. And in the midst of such painful anguish and terrifying oppression, David nevertheless has confidence in God. And he says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. Now we need to look at this word burden. It's translated burden, the Hebrew word. It's not the same word we saw in Psalm 68. It's a different word. And this word actually means what He has given you. In other words, what God's providence has given you. This is our portion, our lot. I know Mark preached about God's providence a few weeks ago. And David is here affirming God's providence. He's saying, even though the situation is horrific, even though my best friend has betrayed me, my son is trying to kill me, nevertheless, I realize this is all a part of what God has given me. It is His portion for me. It is His lot for me. He sees God's hand of providence in his burden, in his situation. Now, we've got to do that same thing. We've got to see God's hand in our situation. And best of all, we need to see His heart in our situation. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's terrifying or horrifying or painful. But that does not leave God out. He is still working out His sovereign, loving, divine plan in our lives. And so in that burden, in that portion, he says, cast it on the Lord. Throw it. That word means to hurl, to throw. Throw your burden on the Lord. That's why you're feeling the weight of it still. You haven't thrown it on the Lord yet. You've got to hurl it on the Lord. You've got to give it to Him before you're going to feel the relief of the burden. Now, what I see in my life, and I've got a feeling you see it in your life, is I hurl it on the Lord, and then I grab it back as fast as I lay it on it. It's like my burden's got strings on it. You know, I lay it on Him, and then I pull it back. I lay it on Him, and then I'm going to pull it back. Man, we got to hurl them on the Lord and leave them with the Lord. Now, I found that means I got to hurl it. I got to hurl it over and over and over and over again. Because no sooner than I start feeling the weight of it again, I think, uh-oh, God, I'm giving it back to you. I'm giving it back to you. Whenever you sense in that weight, you need to say, wait a minute, I've taken the thing, Lord, I'm casting it back on you. I'm hurling it back on you. Now, what does He promise He'll do? If you will cast your burden on Him, He will sustain you. Now, that word sustain means to strengthen. It means to support. It means to undergird. It means to withhold. Excuse me, to hold up. It is used over in Nehemiah chapter 9, in verse 21. When Nehemiah is praying and he's talking to the people about how God provided for them while they were 40 years in the wilderness. And the Hebrew word, same Hebrew word that translates sustain in Psalm 55, is translated provided in Nehemiah 9:21. He says, indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want, not in lack. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. God provided everything they need. He provided the food. He provided the water. Now, you ever look at reading some verses sometime in Scripture and something just hits you? That you've read it many times before, but all of a sudden it hits you. You just put yourself in that situation and you see it like you never saw it before. This happened to me the other day when I was reading it. I said, 40 years in the wilderness, clothes never wear out. I said, man, that's most women's nightmare. I mean, think you had to wear the same dress for 40 years, ladies, and the same pair of shoes for 40 years. Years, you better hope you had a comfortable pair on when this happened, right? But it would be most men's dream. I never had to buy clothes again, 40 years. That old pair of underwear just got holes in it, wouldn't have holes in it. I could keep wearing it for 40 years. I heard somewhere that the average man keeps his underwear 7 years. So, see, your husband's not weird. They don't get broken in until 5 years, right? 40 years I never had to buy another pair. Wouldn't that be great? But God provided for them everything they needed. He provided. That's the word translated sustain. Cast your burden on Him. Realize that the situation you're bearing is part of God's providential hand in your life. Throw it on Him. And He will provide everything you need. He will hold you up. Now notice, not only does God hold up your burden, but He holds you up too. He will uphold and strengthen you. This is the Old Testament's rendition of Paul's promise that God gave Paul in Corinthians chapter 12. When he says, my grace will be sufficient for whatever need you have. That's what David is saying here. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will give you the grace you need to go through it. He will hold you up, and He'll hold that burden up. Now let's bring it to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now again, we see this same concept of casting, of throwing your burden on the Lord. Except we have another insight here that I think is interesting. This same word for casting, the same Greek word, is used over in Luke's Gospel when it in Jesus' triumphant entry, you remember when He came into Jerusalem on that Sunday? And it says that they took their coats and they threw their coats on the coat so that Jesus rode on it into the city. You remember that? Well, that same word, threw their coats on the coat, is the same word for casting here. Now, what does that tell me? This is what it tells me. Now, when it says they threw their coats on that coat, it doesn't mean they waddled them up into a ball and threw them, did it? No. But you ever put a horse blanket on a horse? You know, you take it and you fling it up and put it on the horse. Or the saddle, you have to kind of throw it on the, you call it throwing it on the horse. But what you're doing is you're taking something and you are deliberately, take off that coat, deliberately taking it off and placing it on that coat so that Jesus could get on it. Now, I think that's a word picture of what we need to be doing with our anxieties. Now, this word for anxiety literally means to separate, to pull apart. You know, things that pull you on the inside apart, things that are stretching you on the inside, you feel like you're just getting torn up. That's the whole concept here of anxieties, the Greek word for worry. Is that which tears us apart, that which rips us. Take that off like you take off your coat and you deliberately place it on God. Just like they placed those coats on that coat so Jesus could ride on it. You take that anxiety, you take that thing that's tearing you apart and you say, God, I am giving it to You and I'm placing it on Jesus. And you know why you can do that? Because He cares for you. So here we see, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, every day, every moment of every day. Your condition is you've got to cast it on Him. And you can place it on Him because He cares for you. Paul says, if He spared not His own Son, but freely gave Him, how will He withhold anything that you need? He gave the greatest gift. He's not going to hold back. He's going to take that burden and He will take the weight of it and He will carry it with you. All right, let's get down to brass tacks. How? All right, preacher, it sounds good, but give me some definite steps. How can I claim this promise? Over in Numbers chapter 11, we're going to see it. Moses was leading the people of Israel. They had been at Mount Sinai for 2 years, 2 months, and 20 days. God had been delivering the law. Now they had begun to travel to the promised land. They had been going for 3 days. And the people began to complain. They said, we're tired of this manna. We used to eat garlic and onions and leeks when we were in Egypt. And oh, how great that was. And we want some meat. We hadn't had anything but this old manna. And we're tired of it. Why can't we go back? This put a burden on Moses. And look at what Moses does. First thing, and this is the first step, go to God with your burden. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, he went to the Lord with it. Now, sometimes we want to go everywhere else but to the Lord. We want to try to handle it ourselves. We want to be self-sufficient. Go to God. Go ahead and go to Him at the beginning. Don't wait. We must go to the Lord with our burden. Next, be honest with God about what's bothering you, about your burden. Look how honest Moses is here. Why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me saying, give us meat that we may eat. Now Moses has been honest with God. And you, God can take it. You just lay it out. God, this is crushing me. This is bothering me. I'm upset. I'm angry. Let God know. He can handle it. Moses was honest. And then cast the weight of your burden on the Lord. Look in verses 14 and 15. Moses says, for I alone am not able to carry all this people because it is too burdensome for me. So if you are going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Just kill me, God. If it's going to be like this, just kill me. You ever thought that? I have. Just get me out of it. Just take me away. David said, let me fly away like a dove. Moses said, Lord, just kill me. I can't take any more of it. He throws his burden on the Lord. I'm done. But once you have laid your burden on the Lord, then you need to hold on to His word. Hold on to a promise. Hold on to this promise that He'll bear your burden. Ask Him to give you a word to hold on to. He speaks to Moses. The Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and I will put Him upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone. God says, you bring the leaders. I'm going to take of the Spirit I placed on you. I will place it on them. The people will realize that they too are leaders, and you won't have to bear this burden all alone. Now that tells me that sometimes the way God carries our burden is He brings other people to help us, doesn't He? Hold on to God's truth. Hold on to His Word. Believe what He says. And then God will sustain you. Verse 25. Then the Lord came down into the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed it upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. God sustained him by placing his Spirit upon those who could carry the burden with him. Let me take it to the cross for a moment, okay? What's the greatest burden that any of us bear? The burden of the guilt of our sins. That is a burden that is greater than we can imagine. That is a crushing weight of the condemnation of our sins before a holy God. But what did God do? In His Son Jesus, He came and took that burden of the condemnation and guilt of our sins upon Himself. On the cross, He got under the weight of that burden of guilt and sin and condemnation. Well, then what are we to do? Same thing we saw. First, go to God. God, I know Jesus has borne the burden of my sin. I know, God, that He has done everything necessary for this burden of sin to be taken away. And then be honest with God. Admit your weakness. Admit your sinfulness. God, I don't have the ability to take this burden off of me. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian had this burden on his back and it weighed him down, and he tried everything he could do to get this burden off, and he couldn't remove it until he came to the foot of the cross. And when he came to the foot of the cross, all of a sudden this burden rolled off and rolled down the hill. God, I can't get this burden of sin off of me. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of my life being this way. I'm weary with this weight of guilt. Be honest with God. And then cast your weight of the sins on Jesus. Acknowledge His death for your sins. Trust Him to be your Savior from the condemnation of your sins. Say, Jesus, I place my sins upon you. I ask for your forgiveness. I place this guilt, ask you to take it away. Call on Him to save you from the wrath of God. And then hold on to God's Word. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Hold on to that Word. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hold on to God's Word. God, You said if I believed, I'd have eternal life. And Lord, I believe Jesus has taken the burden of my sin, and I have released it and trust Him completely. Hold on to His Word. And then God will sustain you. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God will save you. He will sustain you. But you've got to cast your burden on Him. Have you done that today? First of all, have you cast the burden of your sin on the Lord, recognizing only He can take it away, trusting that He has, surrendering to Him as your Lord and Savior? If you're already a Christian today, what about that burden you're bearing today? Have you placed that on the Lord? I want to give you a moment in prayer for you to do that. Let's just pray. Fathers, we come before you. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our minister of community connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcomed at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.